Any particular thing you want to fellowship? Or you want me to tell you what the sisters want me to tell you?
I also thought it might be healthy to, it's probably not a major focus, but you know, when the sisters have a sisters fellowship, there's often a bit of focus on the marriage and family dynamics. Maybe it would be healthy for the brothers to hear a little bit about how they should interact with their wives as well, in terms of being ahead and leading the family.
Yeah, that's good.
That could be a little bit of
content. Yeah, I think that's good. I was thinking about that too, before you spoke. You know, the family, or husband and wife, the couple, is the basic unit in the church life. No doubt we want to gain the young people, the university students and all that. But those are for getting married and having families. The family is a unit. Whenever I hear of a breakup or a rough problem in a family, I feel very bad. You know, in my days, it's rare to have any divorce or something like that. But now, even in the recovery, many saints have divorced. That is serious. That basically means that they don't live Christ, right? Simple. Simply put, when you live Christ, you live through trouble with the grace. When you don't live Christ, you like to get out of it. And you know, the we have Colossians tell us that Christ is the reality and everything is a shadow of Christ. The marriage is really a shadow of Christ and the church. So when we are living Christ and being in the church, then we have the reality. Then it's easy to have the shadow when you have the reality. When you don't have a reality, you try to have the shadow, then your shadow gets shattered. And then hard. And then some saints say, even they are not divorced, but they are not one in a sweet oneness at the home, that create a problem for the kids, the children, and then also themselves for pursuing the Lord. You cannot pursue the Lord when you have problem with your husband or wife. I mean, what does that mean? Just like the Lord said, when you are coming to offer, and then you remember you have a problem with your brother, you have to go reconcile with your brother, and then come back and finish the offering. Okay? Husband and wife is even closer than brothers. You can live here, and then next year you move to another church, but you never move away from your wife. You go wherever you move, you are together. So husband and wife should be the strongest relationship. And also, when Brother Lee talk about vital groups, well, your wife is your lifetime vital group, supposedly. There's no such thing as, I can pray with my brother, but I cannot pray with my wife. I'm one with my brothers, but I'm not one with my wife. Even the Lord, I mean, John said that in 1 John, you cannot say, I love God and yet don't love my brother. Then how about wife? You cannot say that I love God and don't love my wife. Some couples, they are divorced. That's terrible. And some, they are tolerating one another. So no divorce, but tolerating. But no sweetness, no oneness, no prayer, no co-working together, So actually, when we talk about vital groups, the first vital group should be husband and wife. And then when your children grow up and get baptized, then your son's daughter is a new brother or new sister in the church. Then they should be shepherded and be brought into a vitality and able to have the one accord in the house and becoming three people vital group. Then another one gets baptized, then it will be four people vital group. I mean, that would be the perfect scenario. Look at Adam's family. Man, one brother killed the other. It's definitely not a vital group. At that time they don't know about that, and they didn't have the Spirit of God in them. But now we do. So we are different. We are much more advanced than any other time before. Now, for sure, the Old Testament, they didn't know much. And then, in Hebrew, Paul said that the Old Testament saints were greeting Christ from afar off. And then John the Baptist baptized Christ, and we have Christ inside. So the Lord said, of all the men born of a woman, nobody is as great as John the Baptist, because he was baptizing Christ. And then the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. So we are here. So we are the later, the greater. So we have Christ. So we can have the proper marriage life.
Amen.
We can. Because we have Christ. In the old days, it's kind of messy. You know, many of them have different... David had about 8 wives. And Solomon had 1,000. Crazy, crazy people. And then I come down to the New Testament. Paul said an elder should be husband of one wife. So boom, cut off everything else, everybody else from the Old Testament. They are all not qualified to be elders. Because husband of one wife. So it's good. So we have the possibility now. But then when we don't live in the Spirit, we lose it. Let me read you something from our morning revival yesterday, or day before, 2 days ago. We're on week 4. You're on week 2, right? So give you a little heads up. We need to ask ourselves, whether we are in heaven or on earth. This is referring to Colossians 3, that we should seek the things which is in heaven, where Christ is sitting. And on the right side, page 71, first paragraph. The proper way to answer is to say that when we are in spirit, we are also in heaven.
Amen.
So key is in the spirit. But when we are not in spirit, we are on earth and experientially even under the earth. On earth, you may say, wow, it's just human. Under the earth, that means you are under suppression or something. You are under control, under slavery. You are discouraged and all that. According to our experience, we know that in spirit, we may be in heaven. 1 minute, and then, because we do not remain in our spirit, we may immediately plunge down to the earth, and then also under the earth. For example, during your time with the Lord in the morning, you may be in the heavenlies. I hope that we all should have that experience first. If, without that experience, then everything is useless. So first is go to heaven in the morning, having prayed yourself into the spirit. So when we spend time with the Lord in the morning, we pray ourselves in the spirit, we're in the heaven. But at the breakfast table, your wife or husband may say something to bother you. It happens all the time. Breakfast time, the wife says something to bother you. Okay, and immediately you are drawn out of the spirit into the flesh. No longer are you in heaven, you are now on the earth. This indicates that only when we are in spirit are we in heaven. Wherever we are outside the spirit, whenever we are outside of the spirit, we are earthly. Okay, so talk about husband and wife. This is the key in spirit. Now come to more particularly about us husband. The Bible clearly say, we're the head, and also say, love your wife. As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So whenever brothers came to me to complain about the wife, I always ask, have you died for your wife yet? That's the key. One time Brother Lee said, do you know how to love your wife? I said, oh, that's good. I want to hear. He said, submit to her. And I thought, man, come on, Brother Lee. The Bible says they submit to us. Didn't say we submit to him, to her. But after many years of living, then I finally realized Brother Lee was right. The way to love is to submit. And what does that mean? Give you an illustration. I used to work at home. I have a business, but I work at home. I was quite advanced, home office. And so when I was a programmer, I programmed computers. So my mind thinks faster than my fingers. So when I'm thinking, I cannot type as fast as my thinking. So then there's a jam up, lots of information that I want to put on the computer. If I don't do it fast enough, then I may lose it. Then I forgot the good ideas, so I have to keep typing. And then suddenly my wife would say, Paul, take out the garbage from the kitchen. I'm in the bedroom typing. And always said, no, I'm busy. Can you tell I'm trying to make money? And for the family, right? Okay. Didn't want to do anything. Why did she call me? Because she gets bothered by garbage in the kitchen. Every time after she finished certain work in the kitchen, the garbage can may be only half full, not full. And then she wants to get it out. Said, I like my job better than my wife. So let her be bothered and I gotta finish my work. Then later I realized that, wow, in order to love my wife, I have to remove everything that's a hindrance for her. So the half full garbage can is a hindrance for her relaxation. Then after a few years, I learned, okay, whenever she called, then I run there and dump the garbage and come back and work. And then when she breaks the glass, I don't say anything. How come you are so careless? Break the glass again. I just went and grabbed the broom and sweep the broom and the dustpan and then sweep up all the glass splinters. And then, wow. You know, there's a verse in Ephesians 5. It says, he who loves his wife loves himself. You know, I accept all the word, but I didn't quite understand that until now, until then. You know, when I take care of my wife, she takes care of me. She cooks better food and everything. Yeah. So he who loves his wife loves himself. Kind of a practical application. And we don't take care of our wives, and then they may fall, they may get bothered, they don't have enough sleep. My wife is strange. I can sleep 5 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours, a few weeks, no problem. If she does not sleep 8 hours for 3 days, she gets sick. So I have to make sure she sleeps. And then every time she sleeps, I'm happy. Because to love her means to take care of her. Not just tolerate, not just, not just tolerate or something like that. So anyway, then when there's a trouble, then we have to make up. Sometimes she was, don't tell your wife about what I'm telling you. It will get back to her and then she may. I just use it for helping you. Sometimes she gets upset, not necessarily with me, but with whatever. And she will shut down for hours. So I have to keep talking to her, comforting. Then eventually she get out of it and then all fine. In the beginning, take a long time, some hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. Nowadays, none. She is learning to turn to her spirit. And so you have to make up. Sometimes husbands say, oh, you get upset, you're unreasonable, it's your problem. But that's, the Bible says the wife is a weaker vessel. Weaker. That means they get attacked by the Satan faster, more, longer than us. So we have to fix the problem for her. And one time she was so upset with something. I forgot what it was. She walked out of the house at 11 p.m. I mean, it's dangerous. You don't do that. And then she just was upset and walking. But what should I do? Well, I love my wife. Don't want her to have problems. So I walked behind her, like tailing somebody. And when she turned around, I hid behind a car or a tree. And then when she walked again, I kept on. And then, until she came back home. And then I came home. Wow, that's interesting. Well, that's the only woman I have for my life, right? For this whole life. So better take care of her so that she does not run into any trouble. So anyway, on and on and on and on and on and on and on, years and years and years. Now we are 51 years. So it's like having honeymoon for 51 years. Honey, 51 years. Well, it depends on what you put in. You give your, like the Lord went to the cross, he said the joy was set before him. What was the joy? The joy is that he's going to get married. He's dying for his wife to bring her back into resurrection, bring her back into the kingdom of God so that he can marry her. Now he is still working on it. Many times we run away and then he comes back and grab us. And then we repent, okay, sorry. And then we run away again. We are the one runaway wife or the runaway bride. So he keeps coming. So we have to do that. We have to do that. Without doing that, they get lost. In Genesis, what happened to Eve? She went to talk to the devil. Can you imagine that? So that's why Paul said women are quite deceived. If we don't take care of them, they go talk to the devil. Well, the devil is in their mind, so they get deceived. So we have to take care of that. And then, when we take care of her, when taking care of our wives, then we have a sweet relationship. Then we can be built up. Remember this story Brother Lee told us? A brother invited Brother Lee and some brothers for lunch or dinner, and the wife served cold leftovers.
Yeah.
Leftover is bad. Cold leftover is worse, right? Can you imagine that husband, how he felt? The wife served the cold leftover. You may blame the wife. Man, terrible wife, served Brother Lee cold leftovers. But you have to think, what happened that she would serve cold leftovers? Maybe it was 10 years of neglect of the wife. So if you love the wife is happy, you have good food, and your guests have good food, and the home is open. They are open to have prayer meeting, open to have love feast, open to invite saints over for fellowship, open to have invite neighbors to hear the gospel, right? Man, everything of the church life can be brought into your home when the wife is happy. When the wife is not happy, cold leftover or nothing. No cold leftovers. Don't even come into the house. So this is very, 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 very important. So we have to develop our relationship with the wives, love her. And, you know, most ladies like jewelries. You know that. But I told my wife, I'm not going to buy you any jewelry, but I will buy any book that you want, recovery books. Because jewelries destroy them. The books build them up. So the more... Now, I think she reads more than me. So I'm afraid one of these days, two in the bed and one get taken and one left behind. She is the one taken and I'm the one left behind. So I better catch up. So you have to, and also, here's another funny thing. So I asked her, do you have any money? She said, no, not much. Do you want some? She said, okay. Then I said, how much you want? $100. Then I gave her $300. She said, I don't need so much. I said, well, anyway, take it. Then I said, well, at least you cannot complain that I don't give you money. You can have all the money you want. And then you can buy anything you want. And then she said, well, I cannot because the Lord will not allow me. So I said, well, that's your problem. At least the problem is not with me. I give you all the money, and then you can only buy what the Lord lets you buy. That's good. So the relationship is good. So instead of she lack money and don't have the money that she needs to buy things, but then I give her all the money. Now, she does not work, so all the money comes from me. Now, a lot of wives, they work so they can be independent from the husband. They can buy the clothes they like. They can buy the cosmetic they like. They can buy anything they like. But that's not biblical. According to the Bible, I was reading with the sisters, Genesis 3. It's the husband who is supposed to work until you have sweat, until the ground, until you die. And then the wife should just take care of the children. Childbearing. So, but then a lot of modern ladies, they want to work so they can have a power. In the old days, when we were young in Hong Kong, they talk about the wife always keeps some money for themselves. called the private, what's that, private? Private money. And so they're afraid that when the husband discard her, then she can live. And then today, they don't need that. They have their own job. They may be more educated than the husband, than able to make more money. So eventually, they can divorce anytime. So having the wife working is a set up for them to be independent. So your husband have to be careful. Now, in some countries, both husband and wife have to work in order to make a living. But not this country, and not many. Many of them, one double income is to have a bigger house, nicer cars, things like that. And when there is no need, just live more frugally and more time to serve the Lord and more time to take care of the children. Just now we were talking to the children. He brought up a point that I didn't think of. You know, a lot of wives who are working, the mothers working, then you have to send the children to daycare before the school, daycare after the school. And he said, some of these people in the daycare, you don't know who they are. They may be LGBT and they all sorts of crazy things. Then we're letting our children to be shepherded by the devil. And also, you have to be careful. Many times the saints go to have a small group meeting and let the kids watch movies, watch TV, watch cartoons. Cartoons these days are not cartoons, our old days. Cartoons these days are loaded with LGBT stuff. And so we go to be holy with God, and then we send our children to be babysat by the devil. So we have to be careful. Better to have a little children's meeting with in your small group meetings. So you have the small group meeting, you're getting holy, have a little children meeting, they can also get closer to God. But back to this thing is that you have to take care of the wife. If not necessary to work, better that they don't work. We told the sisters, you know why, let's say you are a girl, you graduate from university after studying real hard, and then you got graduated. What do you do? What do girls do in the world at that age, 22, 23? They go get a job. So they have their own bank account, they have their own money, they can buy their own car, don't have to ask the parents for money, they can buy cosmetic, buy clothes, anything. That's the world. And then they get married. What do? They may maintain their account. They may keep their own maiden name. Nowadays, many do that. And then they have their own money. And then if you are not treating me well, then I can scoot, leave the place and get out. But that there's no getting out. I told a couple they're getting married today. But we had dinner two nights ago in Melbourne. I said, whenever you sign on the dotted line, that's for life. That's of God. No change by anybody. Not by you, not by your parents, not by the society. That's it. So we only have one chance. One woman. When we have a divorce, we're out. Not out of God's economy, but out of many functions in the church. So we have to stay in the spirit, keep taking care of our wives so that they can take care of the children, and then you have raise up the next generation for the church life. So if husband and wife are working, the children are left alone from, 7 a.m. they were talking about, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. many times. Wow. Children need love and care. They need shepherding. They need to know God. Moses said in Deuteronomy 6, when they get up, when they sit down, when they walk on the way, and when they go to bed, the parents are supposed to share with the children the Word of God. But when you have a daycare and a school from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., you lose a lot of chances. And then by the time everyone comes home, everyone is tired, and even some cannot come to meetings. When I was young, young means when I had young children, we either hire a babysitter to watch the children for the meeting, or join with a few other families, two, three families. So one sister, one wife, watch the children, and then all the rest can go to meeting. Brother Lee talked about that. But today, because double income, both are working, so it's very, very hard, very stressful, and hard for the wife, hard for the husband, hard for the children, everyone's hard, just because of a bigger house, a better car. You know, cars can last for a long time. About 300,000 kilometers. Is that right? 300,000, about there. How many years would that be? Somewhere between 4 to 20. I have a car, 2001. So that's how many? 23 years. And it has 100,000 miles. So it's 150,000 kilometers. So it's only half life. So I can drive another 25 years. So by the time I went to go to be with the Lord, I can leave the car for a full-timer's car or something like that. Austin, they have this full-timer's car. Did you drive one? Yeah, it's some brother bought a new car, gave the old car to the team, and then they fix it up, and then the full-timers have a car. But as long as it goes goes to the meeting, right, take care of the children, student, that's good enough. But usually, people don't do that. They want a better car, nicer, newer. So then all that takes money. And where's the money from? Time. You lose 1 hour, you let's say you make $40. Okay, the car is 40,000, then you need to work 1,000 hours. That's all it is, trading. And 1,000 hours, how many times you can read the Bible? The New Testament is 24 hours, one time. So you can read the 400 times, New Testament. So everybody say, I don't have time. Well, where's the time? Here's the house, here's the car, here's the television, a bigger one, newer one, bigger one. So eventually, we lose our opportunity to go on with the Lord. Lose our opportunity. Brother Ron always said, we have enough time to get ready, but no time to waste. Remember that? Enough time to get ready. So you and your wife, you have to work together to provide the best environment for yourself to get ready and for your children to be raised up. Now, I didn't talk to the sisters about the children much. He mentioned a little bit about that. But the children, according to Brother Lee, the best increase we can get, the best increase in the church we can get is from our own children. Right?
Yeah.
You read that? The best one. The second best. You know who is the second best? Their friends when they are children. So that's why in Taipei he proposed to the brothers to have 10,000 in the children's meeting. Neighborhood children's meeting, not the Lord's Day children's meeting. Neighborhood. Then you can gain them and maybe their family together, and then they will be the second best humanity for the gospel. You know what's the third best? The friends of the junior high schoolers. So he said they are young, you can train them and shepherd them and produce a proper character. He said when people get old, it's hard for them to learn and hard for them to open because their heart is loaded. The fourth best of humanity, you know what? Who's that? University students who are their friends. So our children is the best. Their children, the children's friend, are the second best. Young people's friend is the third best. And the university student friend is the fourth best. Then after that, everybody else. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't preach to everybody else. But just remember, they are not the best. These are the best. But we still have to preach. And then I was giving a training to a church. They asked me to give them a training. Two meetings, one in March, one in April. So I gave the one in March. They asked, what's the response? And they said, the co-worker that invited me said, they said, what you're saying is new. Nobody's ever heard of it. Come on, I mean, do I say anything new? And we learn everything from Brother Lee, right? And they said, you talk about neighbors, preaching the gospel to neighbors. Nobody knows anything about that. Next time, can you tell us more? How do you approach the neighbors? How do you open up about the gospel? How do you preach to them? How do you shepherd them? All that. Then I was thinking, wow, nobody knew. What have we been doing? First commandment, love God. Second commandment, love your neighbors. What's going on? Well, actually, I think it's right that, not right, I mean, I think it's true that most saints never preach to their neighbors. Most saints don't even know the neighbors. One brother called Francis Paul, he was an elder in Eldon Hall, then elder in Anaheim, then elder in San Bernardino, and then he moved back to Anaheim. So he's an old, faithful elder, and also a co-worker. He, what time is the end of this meeting? 12:30. He gave a testimony one time, I heard that. He said one day he was going out from his house to his car to go to a meeting. On the way, he waved at a neighbor, say, hi, how are you? And then was about to go into his car. Then the neighbor came, ran over, and said, hey, Francis, why don't you stop here and talk to me for a while? You just go to your meeting and you just come home, run into your house. After I heard that, I said, man, this is the way we are. We only go to a meeting, come home. We go to a meeting, come home. All these neighbors, they can go to hell. Doesn't matter to me, but I got to go to a meeting. We never think about that. But anyway, that's what happened. And so after that, I repented that I don't care for my neighbors so much. Okay. So I talked to that church about it, and they said they've never heard. So that is the fifth First is our children, then their children friend, then their high school friends, then their university friends, and then my neighbors. Now, according to Acts 16, believe in the Lord Jesus, you and your whole household shall be safe. So we have to take care about our children. But then, the Lord also said, love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, so then I have to take care of my neighbors. So take care of your children. And he was saying that when the wife is working and send the children to this stressful day of 11 hours away from the parents, not only stress them out, but also who knows what they pick up every day. I had a maid when my second son was born. We had some money, then we had a maid. And after a year or two, I noticed that my son does not recognize me. He recognized the maid, but not me. So I fired the maid. Come on, I am the dad. I pay for the, I gave the birth, then I pay for everything. And then he is treating the maid more close than me. Get out of here. Similarly, the nursery school, the daycare before and after school. Wow, man, they may not know us when they grow up. Even the maid, I was home, I was there, but then because the maid was carrying him around, then eventually she became the mother. So. Thank you for your service. So I got my son back. So get back your children from the nursery schools or whatever. I mean, for them to go there to nursery school and all that, it's okay. I mean, learn something and here and there, but you have to be with them also. Take care of them. That's your responsibility, to raise up the children. And then, let's say you and your wife are very much in love and oneness, and now you have prayed, you have a vital group. Then when a son gets baptized, who is he? Huh?
A saint.
A saint. He's not only your son, he's your brother. Well, but usually we don't have that consideration. I told him, his son just got baptized in December. I said, now you have a new brother in your house. Make sure he becomes vital and join you as a vital group. You see, joining you as a vital group? A little bit?
A little bit.
A little bit. Yeah, it takes time. It takes about another 6 years. So Brother Lee said that our children in the schools should be gospel seeds. Gospel seeds. That means they go to sow themselves into the school to produce fruit. But most of our children don't do that. Is that right? Most of our children are not gospel seeds. Yeah. We have a campus team in Mexico City. I asked one of the full-timers, how many of our children going to your school you consider them gospel seeds? None. This is our problem. So, now you are the brothers. You are the husband. You are the head of the house. Now certainly people put a sign up there that the Lord is the head of this house. No, you are the head of the house. No doubt he is the head, your head, but you are the head of the house. He is your head, you are the head of the house. So you have to bring the whole family to God, to the Lord. So he can be the head. Now, so you have, oh, he has something to share about that. He shared in the sisters' meeting. I told him, better share here too. So you are the head of the house. So you have to lead the whole family. Don't blame. We like to blame. Like the man, the third servant. You are a hard master. I know. You don't gather where you scatter. You don't reap when you reap when you where you don't sow. You gather where you don't scatter. Then the Lord said, you are wicked servant, slothful and wicked servant. We have a pandemic, right? One church in Mexico, they had 100 people on Lord's Day. The second year of pandemic, 30 people on Zoom. I said, what happened? You know, oh, because of the pandemic, it's getting too long. People get fatigue, Zoom fatigue. Some of them don't even know how to hook up to Zoom. Then I met a brother from Panama City. I said, brother, there's a leading brother there. I heard that your church increased double or triple last few years. How did you do that? He said, well, during the pandemic, blah, 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 blah. So everyone was a liar. All those liars say, the pandemic caused this problem. Then this brother said, the pandemic gave us the increase. So who is lying? For sure the others are lying. This brother is taking care of God's economy during the pandemic. You should check with him. What's his name? Jorge Ruiz. Yeah, you should check with him. It's very interesting. So we cannot blame anybody. We cannot blame anything. We can only blame we on ourselves that we are not seeking, not running. So anyway, brothers, I don't know if I answer your fellowship question. That's good. Well, there's a lot to share, a lot to learn, a lot to practice. But basically, the husband is the head of the house. It's not, listen to me, that type of head, but supplying head. Right? We hold the head, right? Colossians, Ephesians, we hold the head, and then out from him, out from whom, comes all the supplies. The supplying head, shepherding head, guiding head, not demanding head. I heard a brother in another church in Australia, the brothers ask him to take care of a district. Somehow he thought that he's the authority of the district. And he demand other people to listen to him. Such a man. What type of person is that? You know who owns a church? God, Christ, the saints. Three. The church of God, the church of Christ, and the church of the saints. So not the church of a co-worker, church of a leading brother, church of, but leading brother in the district. Not even the elders have that authority. But this brother in the district assumed the authority. But so let's not do that. Husbands, love the wife. The way to love her is to submit to her. So submit to her. And then you have a good relationship. And then you have a prayer. Then you have a holy life in the home life or the church life. Then you can have saints. You can have neighbors. You can raise up your children. Wow, many benefits. So it's all start for us. We are the leader in our house. I am the elder of my house. Elders should be patterns and shepherds, right? Then she is the deacon of the house. And then the children are the saints in the house. So every house is like a church. We have to take care of the house. Okay. You share your portion. That was good.
Corinthians 9:2, before that, to stress what Brother Paul said.
This is Reuben.
Yeah.
Oh, here's the mic. Reuben is one of our co-workers from Mexico, and one of the leading brothers in the church. Is it on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
So you know, last two times I brought some brothers. He is the third one now. Huh? Who is
Brother
what?
Brother Leonel that came.
What?
What?
When?
The other brother that you bought, you told me.
Leonel.
Leonel.
My gospel partner in the training, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Leonel. Okay.
Yeah.
First time was Leonel, second time was Juan Pablo.
He was also my gospel partner.
Oh.
Yeah, they are all classmates in the FTT.
Amen. Well, I would just want to stress what Brother Paul said concerning the marriage. I don't know if we all know this chapter in Ephesians 5, right? Concerning ethical relationships between wife and husband. And it starts with wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. But the Apostle Paul, before writing concerning the living and the ethical relationships between wife and husband, sometimes we don't pay attention to some verses before. And I want to read it because it's what Brother Paul shared. And it's in Ephesians 5. Let me see, what is it? Yeah, Ephesians 5, verse 18. It says, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissoluteness, but be filled in spirit."
Amen.
So the Apostle Paul, before sharing concerning the relationship between husband and wife, he said we need to be filled in spirit.
Amen.
So that's the secret to have a proper marriage.
Yeah.
We just need to be filled in spirit.
Amen.
If we don't touch the Lord, if we don't seek the Lord, we get upset very fast. And when our wives get upset, if we get upset in the house, nothing happens. But if our wives get upset in the house, the whole atmosphere of the house changes. Everyone is upset, and the child out there, they don't know what's happening. So really, we need to be filled in the Spirit. We need to seek the Lord. We need to see that what I shared with the sister was concerning the life that is dependent of God. So the first sin that men committed was the independence of God, not depending of the Lord. So we all need to depend of the Lord, be filled in the Spirit. And I was sharing with the sisters that when we got married, my wife, she always asked me, what should she call me and ask me, what do I have to, what should I buy for dinner? What should I do? What should I say? For everything. And I was little by little getting upset. I was telling her, hey, you take your own decisions. Why do you call me every time for everything? But then I realized that I was pushing her to have an independent life.
Mm.
So I repent before the Lord, and I said, Lord, forgive me. So I told her, okay, you keep asking me. When she asked me, then I start to practice asking the Lord, Lord, what should I answer my wife? What do you want?
Amen.
So it's like a dependent life, you know?
But, yes.
So This must be our marriage life. We the wife depending on us, and we depending on the Lord.
Amen.
And I was telling them that our Lord is our covered. If we do something without asking the Lord, well, maybe He's going to judge us for what we did. But if we ask Him, well, you say, Lord, I ask you, you are my cover. So everything is under your cover.
Amen.
And my wife also has learned to cover with me.
Amen.
If I take a decision without covering me with the Lord, then I am going to be the one who is going to be judged. She can say before the Lord, He's my husband. I ask Him, so you better talk to Him. So, brothers, we need to always depend on the Lord.
Amen.
Whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever we go, I'm learning. I'm still learning. I'm maybe the age of most of you. So.
You learn till you die.
Yeah. It's a continuous learning. But the secret is in Ephesians 5:18.
Amen.
We need to be filled with the
Spirit.
Filled in Spirit.
Be filled in Spirit.
So that's the God-man living. We need to labor in the good land, Brother Paul was saying. The God-man living is laboring in the good land to be filled in Spirit.
Amen.
To call upon His name, to pray individually, to pray corporately. And then our wives, they're watching what we do, all what we do. So if they see we are loving the Lord, eventually they can trust us.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because if they see we don't have a relationship with the Lord and we spend the money how we want, and we do what we want, they realize that. So we better depend more on the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
In the church life, it's normal to serve, and as we grow in life, we should serve more. And then Brother Lee's shepherding was you shepherd others to replace you, so you bring more people. What about when the husband has a burden to serve, but the wife say, no, you have to stay home and help me take care of the children, and the wife won't release the husband to serve?
This
we always have this problem of not serving one.
This has two sides. When he was talking, I was thinking that many times a brother may say, I want to serve full-time, but my wife won't let me. Or, I want to migrate, but my wife doesn't want to migrate. So this case is, I want to come to a meeting to serve, but my wife asked me to stay back to take care of the children. There are many problems with this type of situation. Why a husband wants to serve full-time, the wife does not agree. Okay, it may be he does not love her, and there's no building up of the divine life. In the early days, after we got married, I remember many nights we were lying in bed at night. We were having gospel question answer fellowship. She wanted to preach the gospel, but didn't know how, so I was giving her a training in bed, bedtime training. Then she baptized a few, but they don't stay. Then she got frustrated, so I gave her more bedtime training. Then she kept some of them, so that was good. So continuous. So a shepherding, perfecting of the wife is necessary. Okay, then why doesn't she let the brother go full time? Because she is either has no vision, not clear what that is,
or she does not trust the brother. That when he is working, he does not take care of the family, then when he is full-time, what is he going to do? Mm-hmm. Oh, many, many aspects. Then, this particular case you're talking about, maybe the wife works, she's too tired, and she needs help. Or that, whose fault is that? Is it the wife or the husband or the situation? You have to pray. If you send the wife to work and she came home tired and asked you to stay home to take care of the kids so she could finish the dishes or whatever, then what do you do? So you have to pray and see what to do. But sometimes the wife has no vision, thinking that the meeting is not that important. It's more important to stay home. Okay, that means you need to shepherd. You need to perfect. So all these things can be done, taken care of by love, shepherding, and everything. Right. And vision, knowing the truth. When I went full-time, that was close to 40 years ago, or already 40, 41. I had a business, so we were doing quite well. And then I had a burden to drop my business and serve full-time. Actually, I had my burden since I was 16. I went to see Brother Lee. Brother Lee said, no, you got to go to school. And after I finished school, I talked to him. He said, no, not ready. Because at that time, there was no full-time training. It was 71, no full-time training. So I have to develop a business. So every couple of years, I asked him. He said, no. Until about 83, then we begin. Okay, so when I went full-time, I was in business, so majority of the offering for the church was from me. The church is not big, and I had a business. So when I went full-time, we got a problem. There's no support, no supply. And even one sister publicly said, it's easy for Paul to go full-time in the conference when Brother Lee was there. Because he had been in business for so long, so he must have a savings. But I never had a savings. I was trained not to have savings. Just use and offer. Okay, so my wife got all upset. You know, this sister publicly said that, and nobody's going to support us. I said, well, it doesn't matter. The Lord supports us. So many times we don't have money for many years. But the Lord pulls us through every time. Seems like the day before we have to pay the rent, the money came or something like that. Many times like that. Kind of like George Mueller situation. And so then we, our credit card debt stack up. But we have a house. So every few years, we refinance our house. Take out some money, pay off all the credit card, and live for a while. And then the Lord sent different ones to come. One brother from the East Coast, he support partially. And then a few churches support partially. And then a brother from Indonesia support partially. And then just different ones came. Okay. So, but at one point I told my wife, I said, what do you think? I go back to work. Because we don't have money. Enough money. So she said, no, better not.
since this is what make you happy, and the Lord lead you. So I never went back to work. So I didn't want to go back to work, but I don't want her to be stressed out. So I offer, but she don't take that. So when your wife has a vision and you are a proper husband, then there's a good cooperation between the two. I mean, she can just say, go back to work. Then she offered the work. I said, no, you better not, because I make 10 times as much as you do. If you go work, I might as well go to work. So both of us didn't never work ever since then. And then, so we continue till now. So it's a matter of shepherding of the wives, perfecting. It's a matter of ourselves being proper God-men at home with the wives and all that. So that gives the confidence and the smoothness and one accord and harmony in the wife, in the house, to take care of it. Or maybe the husband has to do all the dishes and do all the cooking. Who knows? You know. So after that, then you go to meeting. I don't know. You have to work it all out yourself. Live in the Spirit. Be filled in Spirit.
Amen.
It's a good question. That's a lot of times. Whenever a brother say, my wife don't let me, I kind of feel that. Number one, he is blaming on his wife, giving a wife a bad name among the saints. She's the wife that would not let the husband serve full time. She's the wife who would not let the husband go to meetings. So she has a bad name among the saints. I think that's not good. Don't blame it on your wife. Take care of the problem. Take care of the problem. How to take care? Ask the Lord. But take care of the problem yourself. If the wife does not want you to go full-time, find out why. She has no vision. She does not know the truth. She does not trust you. You have not been behaving well for 10 years. Who knows what it means? So don't blame anybody. Don't blame the pandemic for losing people. Don't blame the wife for not able to serve. Don't blame the elders for making wrong decisions. Don't blame anybody. Just, I am incurably wicked. Oh, Lord Jesus, save me. Blame yourself. Yeah.
You said before that sometimes the sisters are weak.
Speak louder.
I'll make it simple. Sometimes the sisters have problems between them.
Yeah.
Is there anything we can do as brothers and husbands to?
Yeah. Sisters having problem between them is of the devil. Is of the flesh. Because they don't live in the Spirit, they don't stay on the cross. So, what's the solution? Christ and His cross is the solution to all problems in the church. Okay? So you have to shepherd your wife. She has a problem with another wife, you have to shepherd your wife. Until she lives in the Spirit and on the cross. The Lord said, if you have a problem with your brother, go reconcile before you can offer. That means before every Lord's table, everything has to be cleaned up. And then it says, do not let the sun go down upon your indignation. That means before sun goes down. When is the sun going down today? Let's see. Six, 5:55, the sun sets. So if you have a problem with your brother, before 5:55, you have to clean it up. Well, this is the word of God. Cannot say, well, he's just saying it. No such thing.
This is our protection. Why people leave the church? Brother Lee said one of the reasons is unforgiven offenses. It was 1989, he said that. Unforgiven offenses. The other one was unfulfilled ambition. But usually sisters do not have that. It's the first one. Okay, so you have to shepherd your wife out of themselves, herself, to have this proper living. Then Brother Lee said, the brothers are like Fung. We're here for the standing of the church and the fighting. The sister is like the blood. When the sisters have no problem, they are happy, the whole church will be happy. So when the sisters have at odds with one another, we got problems. We have to shepherd them out of that problem. And toward the end, Brother Lee, there was a fellowship among the leading brothers up in the mountain, and Andrew went to see Brother Lee and said, what would you like to tell the leading brothers? He said, the co-workers and the elders need to love one another. Their wives need to love one another. And we love one another's children. So when you have these three, wow, what a church life. So I hope that none of your wife has anything problem with any saints. Now some people don't like the elders, don't like their decisions. What about that? I came in the recovery at 15. I was appointed an elder at 30. Why was I appointed? Because everyone left. Most of my elders left. One who was not really my elder, but he came for 1 year, Brother Lee sent him there to San Francisco, and he stayed there faithfully 1 year. Later, he migrated. He did not leave. Another brother who did not leave, but left the church, move away, because he was so frustrated, he moved away to another church. He did not leave the recovery, but he moved away. He was not faithfully staying where he was an elder there. So only these one and a half. Everybody else. San Francisco. Berkeley. Other churches in the area left. Maybe 20 left in the area. Okay. So what does that mean? They are all bad elders. Guarantee, right? They left. They're no good. So they were in the church for a while, beat up everybody, and then left. You know, then Matthew, it says 24, talk about beating the fellow servants, right? Okay. So I had all bad elders. And actually, Brother Lee said, there's no good elders in the whole recovery. They are set there by the Lord to test you. If you complain, you get problem, you fail. If you repent, wonderful. If you don't repent, you get problems until the Lord comes, or you may leave. So different ones left. And then of my peers, only two or three stay out of 30. So years, decades later, I was thinking back, maybe they complain about the elders. So complain about the bad elders left, and they also left. Only some fools don't know how to complain. Just stick around. Oh yeah. You gotta be fools, fools for Christ, in order to stay. The church life is full of opportunity to complain. Well, there's a song, full of opportunity to gain Christ. But actually,
on one hand is full of opportunity to complain. Who is good? Is Paul good? He is just as bad a sinner as we all. Are they good? Are you good? None. When we live in ourselves, we complain. So Paul said, do all things without murmuring and reasoning. So one time I was complaining. I was murmuring. And then the Lord said, you're murmuring. No, that's a bad decision. You're murmuring. Reasoning. Okay. Amen. Forgive me. When you accept the word of God, then you are free. Then you're happy. It says that the joy of the Lord should be our joy. How can that happen? When we stop complaining and murmuring. And then when there's some problem. You know, sometimes some saints came up to me and say, oh, I'm so sorry I said that to you. I said, what did you say? I don't even remember. Why didn't I hear it? I have bad ears. I should have good ears to hear the word of God and bad ears to hear people's offense. So I said, I don't remember that. You know, like a river full of rocks. So you are a ship, a boat. You have to navigate around the rocks. And then you make a mistake, you crash. But what if the water is 10 feet higher? You never see the rocks. So when you get offended and you don't even know, man, you are really filled in the spirit. You have nothing. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Wow, what a man. He was put on the cross, dripping blood and dying. And he said, Father, forgive them. What type of humanity is that? But then, when you say something bad to me, and then maybe even not bad, maybe hinting or maybe a mistake or whatever, and I get upset with you, that means I'm not in the spirit. I'm in my flesh. So this is a church. We have to learn how to forgive. I think that ones who forgive people fastest wins. In the world, they say, whoever speak the last word wins. No, whoever speak the first repentance wins. Then you gain more Christ, you gain more Christ, then eventually when the Lord comes, you get raptured. Amen. We are all working for our rapture, working for the gaining Christ. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord. It's time to eat lunch, I think. Is that right? Yes. Let's have some prayer. Huh? Prayer together, not two by two. I'd like to hear some of your prayers.